good morning. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Come, we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. Oh, we're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields 1,000 sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, or walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. Oh, we're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God.
Oh, yeah. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but let the children of the King rejoice. Amen. I don't know why I'm pointing over there. There's nobody over there. That's called habit. That's the cue. If you didn't know that before now, that's the cue to give me my cord. So I'm going to point over here right now. It goes like this. Some glad morning. That ain't right. Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air. coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Seems that now I almost see all the sainted dead rising for that jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be all the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all that heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, oh, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. A little quote came back to me just then. Brother Brown said this would be the quietest place you'll ever live. Talk about rejoicing. We get over there, we meet him. Oh, it'll be worth it all, friends.
So true. Let's bow our hearts in prayer. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the word which you stand behind to perform. We pray, O God, as our brother stands behind the pulpit, that you would anoint him for the message and anoint our hearts to receive. Bless your people, we pray. Bless this offering, we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross. Died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I and blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. All he has promised, that will he do. Wash in the fountain, open for sin, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now judgment is coming, all will be there. Each one receiving justly his due. Hide in the saving, sin-cleansing blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do that verse again. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. See the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love. Oh, his loving kindness is better than life this morning. I don't know, maybe a week or two ago, I said something. I said to my wife, there has to be a basis of fellowship. She wanted to know what that meant. So we were together this weekend with Brother Chuck, Sister Joanne, Mark, and Sherry, and I brought that same quote up to them. There has to be a basis of fellowship. And Sister Joanne said, what does that mean? Well, if you want to know what that means, go listen to the message, The Basis of Fellowship. I got to listen. That little thought's been going over my head. So I got to listening to The Basis of Fellowship this morning. As I'm getting ready, and that song right there came to my mind. Because a basis of fellowship, the only fellowship we have with God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I changed my list and put that song in there. We have fellowship with Christ. because of the bloodshed. We have forgiveness for our sins only because the blood of Jesus Christ has atoned for every sin. We have a source in the blood of Jesus Christ that you can't find anywhere else. The song goes like this. I have a source, a strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a source, a power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of love. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary as I do. For there a healing, cleansing stream still flows, with peace that only His redeemed can know. Shed on Calvary, those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Do that once more. Say, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made there just for me. For all my sins, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. blood stains. Oh, yeah. I believe it was David said, blessed is the man to whom sin is not imputed and whose sins are covered. True forgiveness does not involve telling everybody what you did. We're talking scripture. I'm not talking about people's ideas. I'm talking scripture. It does not involve me telling everybody what you did. True forgiveness involves covering. There's a lot of folk don't understand what forgiveness means. It just kind of came back to me as I'm singing this old song right there. There's a healing, cleansing stream. Still flows with peace. You can't have peace with God. Everything's not under the blood, and your sins are covered. That's a reality of the Word of God. God. Let's just sing a little chorus before we change the order. Got Brother Bill back there, wants to speak to the people just briefly. But before we do that, sing this little chorus. I love him.
I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Again, I love him. I love him because he first loved me, and purchased
to thank the people.
I'd like to thank all you brothers and sweet brothers and sisters that gave me that wonderful card. I'd never seen a card that big. People want to know where I got it. Where you got it. I don't know. But I really appreciate that card. It's the biggest card I ever saw. It's the biggest one I'll ever get, too. And I thank you all, and I love you all, and thank the Lord for all we have. We've got it all. Amen.
God bless Brother Bill. Amen. We're going to change the order of service. We're going to ask the pastor to come. We are so thankful for this message. This message gave us an identity. told us who we were, told us who we no longer were. We used to be, but we ain't that no more. We're children of the Most High God, identified as the bride of Jesus Christ, preparing, getting ourselves ready to go meet him in one glorious morning. Song goes like this as the pastor comes. Who I am, Lord. Who I am, I can see now. Who I am, I'm a part of my Savior, a part of his word. It's a revelation of who I am. Oh, who I am, Lord. Who I am. I can see now
who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of his word. It's a revelation of who I am. Sing it again now. Oh, who I am, Lord. Yes, who I am. Oh, I can see now who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of his word. It's a revelation. It's predestination of who I am. One more time now. Oh, who I am, Lord. Yes, who I am. Oh, I can see now just who I am. I'm a part of my Savior. I'm a part of his word. It's a revelation. It's predestination of who I am. How many can say praise the Lord? Let's sing together if we could one more. Brother Nicky, just before he started talking there, I stood to my feet and I said, Lord, I can't help it. I have a peace in my heart. And I was thinking what I said Wednesday night, we can have peace with God because we have the peace of God. Yes, it don't matter what's going on out here. It doesn't affect what's down inside of a man when he has peace with God. Let's sing that together. Just one chorus if we could. Peace, peace, wonderful peace.
Peace, peace, oh wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweet my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Come on, just lift your hearts and sing it now. Yes, peace, oh peace, yes, wonderful peace. Oh, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows.
I'm just glad you have that this morning. Come on, sing it now. Yes, peace, oh peace. Yes, wonderful peace, coming
down from our Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I gotta sing it again now. Yes, peace, oh peace. Yes, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Peace is not based on circumstance, just like happiness is not based on happenings, and joy is not based upon excitement, because in our hearts there's a melody that's always ringing out and playing, you know, sweet music to the Lord, and it's coming down the road. As soon as Brother Nick asked that question, the basis of fellowship, I said, nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Coming down the road yesterday, my wife and I listened to Hebrews chapter 2, part 1 and 2, coming home from Florida, and in there, Brother Branham makes it very plain, nothing but the blood. Amen. So I'm glad of that this morning. As you're standing, if you'd open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Certainly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Everybody happy to be here? 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. I plan, by the help of the Lord, to speak this morning and tonight. We're not leaving Ephesians 4. What I'm going to say will bring us back right to it tonight, God willing. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to read verse 5. Say it with me. Examine yourselves. The Apostle Paul is writing here and he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Amen. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? I kept underlining that as I read it. I see, examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Amen. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Amen. Everybody said it with me. I am not a reprobate. God hadn't turned me over to a reprobate mind. Amen. Listen to it again. Examine yourselves. And I got to read this. It's sad that we have to read it this way, but I have to. Examine yourselves whether you be in the church. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Brother Branham had to make that distinction because we've come to an age where people believe that if you get people to church, that means they're in Christ. Brother Branham said, I'm afraid we're getting people to church and not getting them into Christ. He says, examine yourselves, prove yourselves, know your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. I want to read one other place. I'm actually not going to read it. I'm just going to point it out to you. Because Paul, when he is establishing one of the, Brother Branham said, the three, you know, physical orders that's been given to the church, one of them was communion. Yes. And in communion, when we set the premise for it, the Apostle Paul, after he speaks of the cup and he speaks of the bread, and he stops for a moment and he says, we do this until we show the Lord's death till he come. But then he makes this statement.
Wheresoever, verse 27, 1 Corinthians 11, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Then this is the statement he makes. But let a man examine, everybody say himself. Over there he said, examine yourselves, prove yourselves, know yourselves. Here he says again, examine yourselves. My subject this morning is examine yourself. Amen. Bow your heads. Father, a privilege this morning to again to be here. Lord, we certainly appreciate the atmosphere and the presence of the Lord that we sense is here today, Lord. And Father, when we meet in this building, I do believe that we bring you with us when we arrive. And then, Father, we bring each one of our licks together and we create this atmosphere that you could speak to us, that you could move for us, that you could do anything that our hearts can, Lord, dare to believe you for. And we pray this morning that you would help us in the preaching of the gospel. May the Holy Spirit speak to every heart, and we'll give you praise for all things. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, and the whole church says, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. I want to speak this morning on that thought, and it's going to, where I'll stop at, I'll pick it back up tonight, God helping us. Paul uses a statement to examine. That's a pretty familiar word to all of us, to examine. Emphasis I'm emphasizing is yourselves. One of the reasons I emphasize that is because Brother Branham over and over and over and over in the message tells us that God does not call Gentiles as a group. I got three places before me from 60, 61, and 62, and there's many others, but he said God deals with Gentiles as individuals. He deals with Israel as a nation. That's why a nation can be born in one day. But not the whole bride of Christ born in one day. Brother Bam said God will call one here, he'll call one there, he'll call one here, and he'll call one there. Very, very seldom, if ever, that God ever did call an entire church. But he may call individuals. That's like each one of you were part of a system, an organization, denomination. And God came to you individually and called you out. Amen. And that's why you're here today. You wish by somehow you could bring everybody with you, but it don't work that way. God deals with every man as an individual. When Abraham had to learn that lesson very fast, the Brother Branham said when God dealt with Abraham, he called Abraham to leave his kindred, his father's house, his land, all those things. But then Brother Bam says, Abraham brought Lot with him. Right. Then the prophet said, Lot became a hair in the biscuit. And the point is, God didn't call Abraham and Lot. God called Abraham, but Abraham brought Lot. Then what happened? Strife came among them. Yeah. And so the prophet says that God called Abraham individually. He didn't call all of his family. He called Abraham. Then the prophet says, now the church is an individual. God deals with Israel, a nation, but Gentiles as individuals. Now, you get it, do you? A nation will be saved when Israel comes. It'll be born overnight when Israel come to God at one time. But when Gentiles, it's individuals. God, a people he's taken out of the Gentiles for his name's sake, making up the bride. Then Brother Ben says this, one here, one there, but he deals with the Jews as a nation, but as us as individuals. That's why I say you wished you could bring everybody with you, but everybody can't come, and you can't come till God calls you. And when God calls you, he calls you as an individual, because Christianity is an individual affair. So that brings me to my thought. To examine yourself means to inspect, to study carefully for the purpose of making a judgment. In the Greek, it literally means to test yourself, to examine yourself. Let me say this, ourselves We're not here to examine everybody else. Because the truth is, if we examine everybody else, most people's going to come up short. Except maybe somebody we really, really, really love and care about will give them a pass. But Christianity's not you measuring everybody else. It's measuring ourselves. Now, he says, know yourselves, prove yourselves. Now, if we're going to examine ourselves, then listen, we have to have a standard. And if my own thoughts is what I justify myself by, then I'm going to come up short. Because the standard that I have to be, and you know this, but the standard that I have to judge myself is, and Brother Bill, you and I just spoke about it, where over in Psalms, that he would exalt his word even above his name. The standard that we have to look at to examine ourselves by has to be his word. Amen. Brother Branham says God's word is the standard. So there's only one thing that we can compare our own lives to, and that's the scriptures. Brother Branham said God's word is the standard, and he will judge the world by his word. Remember what Brother Bam said? If he judged it by, and people do this, they'll go to one church and they fit that church, and then they leave that and they'll go over here and they fit this church, and then they leave that church, they'll go over here and fit this church, and all they're doing is conforming from building to building, from denomination to denomination, from organization to organization. But that doesn't mean that you met Christ. That's right. God deals with every one of us as individuals, and I know this hurts people. Don't matter what church you're in, don't matter what system you're in, God can come anywhere, any place, anytime, and call a man or woman by his grace. So if we are not here to judge ourselves by one another, that there's scripture all over the Bible that would tell us not to do that, to compare ourselves among ourselves. They that compare themselves among themselves are not wise. In any sense, we end up destroying ourselves. Because each one of us has to become the standard by which we judge everybody else. And the truth is, God only has one standard that we all have to match up to, and that's this word. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, so now that tells me that if that's the case, and his word is the standard, then we are not here for a free-for-all. Just listen to me as I make this plain. We're not here to do what makes us feel good. Amen. Like the world. Well, if it feels good, it's got to be right. Most of the time, that's wrong. Amen. Not saying God can't make us feel good. Not saying the word can't make us feel good. But you cannot judge the word by your feelings. Because there's going to be times this word don't make us feel good, but it's still good. Remember Brother Bam talking about when he was sick? What was that stuff he said his mother made him drink? That's right, castor oil. And Brother Bam said, you about gag getting it down. He said, but it was good for you. And there's some things that God has, whether it's ministry or who it is, whether it's the wisdom of a parent or who it is, sometimes things are said that almost makes you want to gag, but go ahead and get it on down because it's good for you. I'll just say this, God's word is always good for us. Amen. Now, if it's a free-for-all, if that's the case, now listen closely, we come right back to the days of the judges. And in the days of the judges, right after the book of Ruth, we come to the time of the judges and we see every man was right in his own eyes. What's scary about that is the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things, and who can know it? Amen. That's why we have to have the help of the discerning word even to know our own hearts. Amen. And if then the days of the judges would be, if that would be true, every man's right in his own eyes, if that be true, then everybody becomes the judge of everybody else. Amen. But that's not the case. I'm going to tell you what was the case. In the days of the judges, when everybody was right in their own eyes, the Bible said there was no open vision. Then it said the priesthood had become corrupt. And from there, the air of the lamp of the Lord had gone out. But while that was happening, listen, God had a little Samuel in the making. You know what Samuel was? Samuel was a young prophet. Am I right? And he was the man to whom the word of God would come to. So when we see this condition, every man's right in his own eyes. The priesthood's become corrupt. They corrupted the house of God. They corrupted the word of God. Ere the lamp of the Lord's went out, there's no open vision. God was busy raising up a prophet. Samuel was that prophet, and he would call that nation and them people to repentance, to change their mind and come back to the word of God. Why'd I say that? Because Brother Bam tells us he'd done the same thing in this day. And Laodicea is an age of people's what? Right. Everybody wants their right, and everybody is right, which ultimately will lead this age to Babylon, which is nothing but massive confusion. And again, everybody becomes right in their own eyes. But while that was happening, God was raising up another Samuel. You go back and hear him say the voice of God in the last days there in Phoenix, Arizona, Mesa, Arizona, where he preached that. He'll go back to Samuel. And there's several Old Testament prophets that Brother Bam would compare the Laodicean messenger to. One was Moses, the other was Samuel. Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord but what come to pass? Have I ever took your money or begged you for your money? And he would go back to that. But God, in the midst of this system of Babylon, he was raising up another Samuel to whom the word of God would come to. And then that word would call us out of all this confusion in this Babylonian system, and he would call you individually, come out of her, my people. And there came a message by way of a prophet of God to call us out of this and call us back to this again. Brother, I stand today not based on my own ideals, not based on what I think is right, but I have to stand and say the word of God is always right. And I've told you over and over and over and over, we're not ever going to ask God to change his word. We're going to ask God to change us to match his word. That's why we must examine ourselves. Now, Brother Branham presents us with something here, and it begins when you examine yourself and you look at whether you be in the faith. You have to be honest. Brother Branham said, if you're not honest with God, you can't be honest with nobody. And the only way you're going to be honest with God is for you finally come to the place that you're honest with yourself. And a man's conscience, don't care who he is, whether he gets down and prays, whether he sits in the house of God or wherever he is. So I just was sitting with Brother Armstrong the other day, and I said, Brother Armstrong, that conscience is a great gift of God. It's a great gift of God. It's one thing that you want to treat as a gift of God and never take advantage of it lest you callous it. There's people today that will sear their conscience. But your conscience, based on the light that comes through, that you permit to come, that conscience will deal with you. God put that conscience there. Remind me of what I told years ago about the plane wreck that happened over in one of the South American countries. And said there, the pilot kept hearing, pull up, pull up, pull up, and he kept ignoring it. And finally he told it to shut up, and the plane went into the side of a mountain. And people do their conscience that way. It talks to you. Make this right. Get that right. And the more you push it off, the more you callous that. The more you stop light from being able to come in. One thing we never want to do, like Samuel laying there. God speaks to Samuel. He goes down to the priest that you call. No. Found it the third time. Son, sit there and listen to that voice talking to you. That ain't me calling you. That's God talking to you. And sometimes, brother, you got to shut everything off. Let God talk to you. Let his word speak to your heart. So Brother Branham said, here's where it begins. In the message called Abraham, he said, now God, when God called Abraham, him being 75 years old, now that everybody should appreciate that. Because age didn't mean anything to God. We consider that old. But the truth is, young or old, God can speak to him. Then he said, separate, here comes the word, separate yourself from your kindred. How strange how we change that today. God called for separation. We call for mixers. That's right. The people, when they're choosing their pastor, you that do so, oh, they want a flock of some little slick fella. You know that they'll have a sociable drink, not condemn smoking, a few things here, a good guy that'll mix with the crowd, but God wants separators. Right.
God calls for, here's where it comes, total separation from the things of the world. Come out from among them. The Bible said, be ye separate, saith the Lord, I will receive you. See, not a mixer, a separator. The Holy Ghost spoke, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work. See, a separation. God segregates his people, here it is, from right from wrong. Notice now, Abraham was to separate himself and to sojourn in a strange land that he knew not of. Isn't that a beautiful picture today? When God by election called you to his beloved, then immediately God speaks to you to separate yourself from the old crowd, the pool rooms, the sew and stitch parties, where they tell dirty jokes and carry on separation. God wants separators. Now listen, the main thing, and this is where I think if you'll deal with this one, then it'll take care of everything else. The main thing you want to separate from, you, I, all of us, is unbelief. Brother Branham said God's word calls for a total separation from what? Unbelief. And if you separate yourself from unbelief, anything that's conjured this word, everything else will take care of itself. I was just telling the minister the other day, the churches are guilty of trying to change people's outward appearance and get them to match the condition of the church, and the whole time their heart hadn't been dealt with. I believe if you get to a man's heart, it will take care of everything else. You believe that? The heart is the issue. When I say examine yourselves, I don't mean pull out a ruler and see how long your skirt is. I don't mean have somebody measure how long your hair is compared to somebody else's, how long your sleep. I'm not talking about that. I think when we examine ourselves, we need to go inside. We need to come down to what really is the condition of my heart. Because out of it is where everything else proceeds from. You believe that? So Brother Bam would say, statue of a perfect man, if we deal with unbelief, first thing he says is have faith and be born again. He said you start right down at the foundation, and the first thing he says, have faith and be born again. As long as unbelief lays there, you can't grow past that unbelief. So the first thing that has to happen is a separation from all unbelief. I want to make something very clear. You didn't come when you wanted to come. Now you know this. You came when God called you. Your opportunity to even be right is not based upon you decide to join something. I mean a real call from the Holy Spirit to deal with you as an individual. God can call a man without calling his wife. God can call a wife without calling her husband. But she can't say, Lord, I'm not coming if he don't. Or I'm not coming if she don't. You can't do that. You got to come when God calls you. And the truth is, if you come when God's calling you, then he can also use your life to affect that other person. But the household can't be affected. The family can't be affected. The community can't be affected. The school can't be affected until you allow the Holy Spirit to affect your own life. So God says separation. I don't want to get into all this right here, but I spoke it to you last week, the week before, I believe. There's one humanity, two families in that humanity, the children of God, the children of the devil. Now, I'm going to tell you what I told the minister, Brother Armstrong, the other day. Again, Brother Armstrong, I don't know who's who. You don't know who's who. None of us know who's who. So what we do is, every person we come in contact, we must view them as a potential to be a son or daughter of God. Amen. And he was honest. He said, but look, I don't even know if I'm there yet. But that ain't nothing but the truth. I said, Brother Armstrong, if we prejudge people, even where they're at in their journey, maybe a Baptist, that don't mean they won't come to the full truth. They got to start somewhere. Where do you think my family started? Where do you think your family started? Some of y'all were Catholics, and look where you're at today. And if we kept the attitude of some people, and they, well, if they don't see this meeting, it don't work that way. First of all, you ain't in control of that. Only God is. And just because sometimes they turn down your presentation, don't mean they turn down eternal life. Somebody say amen. Listen to this now. Separation. The world is teaching that the church should make alliances with the world. It's like my old mother used to say,
put a Christian and a church goer and a worldly person in a bag, shake it up, pour it out, you won't be able to tell the difference nowadays. Because the church looks something like the world. And the world looks like, and we pattern after the world so much because we're trying to win the world. You don't win the world by being like them. Amen. You show them there's a God that can change men and women. Amen. Show them there's a life beyond that. Listen, we want to make alliances, but God is calling for the church, the individual, to make no alliance with the world, but to unite with the Word. Brother Branham called it uniting time and sign, a complete separation from the world, from unbelief. Have faith, be born again, and allow God to unite you with the Word. Amen. Let me go further. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, be not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. Now you're going to see how this ties in a little later to Ephesians 4, because you're talking about two classes of people. I'm talking about you and me this morning, you and I. And what, he says, and what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? This is very scripture Brother Bam would use with Abraham, separating from his kin. What communion hath light with what? Darkness. What concord hath Christ with Baal? What part he that believeth with an infidel? What he's trying to tell you is there's two different classes of people here. And one can't mix with the other, and the other can't mix with the other. But you're going to see the deception that came in the church in just a minute. And I tell you, it was not God's fault. He permitted it, but it was not his fault. And you'll see what I'm talking about. What agreement hath the temple of God with what? Idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Here it comes. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. There's a good Father's Day right there. Amen. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, take your Bible, if you would, because I'm going to teach this morning by the help of God. Psalms chapter 1. This psalm is considered the gatekeeper to the sanctuary where men come to worship God and also who God permits to come in. But in Psalms chapter 1, he establishes a divine expectation of the worshipers. And this is what he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? Just keep watching how God keeps doing this. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And it's easy to get there. And don't get upset, but your own prophet got there one day. And he admitted it. Verse 2, but his delight, this worshiper, this man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I love this. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. Isn't it good to be right with God? Amen. There's another kind of worshiper that comes through that gate. And we're going to see how they got there in a few minutes. And we'll show you deception that's happened in the churches today. And that's why it's important for you to examine yourself, not by everything around the church, but go back to the Word. Amen. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, notice now, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. This is important. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Everybody that names the name of Christ is not saved. Everybody that goes to church is not righteous. In the end, God is saying when you enter, listen now, when you enter, you may fool everybody else, but there's one person you cannot fool, and that's God. Wouldn't matter what kind of clothing you put on. Just like you sisters, you've got a certain appearance to the world that could make you look holiness. But God knows your heart. There's a certain class of men, the way we look, but God still knows our heart. Where other men may not know it, there's one thing for sure, we can't hide from God. Amen. In the very end, God will stand there and that crowd will come up, and I promise you, they're going to stand there and they're going to tell God everything they did for him. And if this ain't, and I don't want to pick on them. I don't. I, honest to God, I don't want to pick on them. But Brother Brandon would identify them as the modern day Pentecostals. And they will stand there in Matthew 7 and they will tell God everything they did. Have not I cast out devils? Have not I prophesied? Have not I did all these things? Listen to me. God knew them before they walked in. And in the great end, he still knows them. But this is what he said, I know that I know. Is that depart from me, you worker of, I never. But yet, he knows them when they come in. I'm going to tell you why that's important. He knows them. And what he's really saying is, you came in, you claimed that you knew me, but I never did have a relationship with you. You claim that you had a hold of me. And Brother Bam said, God even hold him responsible for saying such. Amen. You name the name of Christ, God will hold you responsible for it. Amen. He said, you claim he's your husband, he'll hold you responsible for a marriage. It's right there in the church age book. Brother Bam said, God will hold him responsible for that kind of a confession. Then he says, notice this, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I never had no, and we could go deeper. I never had no relationship with you, or you never were with me in the beginning. You never were in my thinking. Well, here's the question. If they never was in his thinking, how did they get here? How did they end up at this very spot telling God all the religious works they did? And I'm going to show it to you why. The question comes down, who belongs here? I'm going to tell you who belongs here. The Lord knows them that are his. The foundation of God standeth sure having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And I tell you one thing. Them that's God's ain't getting away. And them that's God, I'm going to pin it down in a minute. Them that God in their heart, there's going to be something in their heart crying out, Lord, make me like this word. Strip me down, crush me, do whatever you got to do. But in the end, let me shine forth in the image of the word of God. So he says, listen, Jesus says himself when he gives the parable of the kingdom. And he gives a parable, and it's an interesting parable because he tells of the kingdom. And the point is, here's the congregation of righteous, here's the congregation of sinners. They shouldn't be among each other. That's right. In the end, they're going to somehow get in there, and they're going to claim all these religious works. And in the end, God said, I didn't know you when you started, and I don't know you now. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. You never were in my thinking. Then he asked the question, but how did it get in there? So he tells a parable of the kingdom. And I'm watching you. This is what I want you to understand. There are some things you cannot blame God for. And there are some things you can blame God for. And I want to show you one thing you can't blame God for. When he gives the parable of the kingdom, then all of a sudden he says, hey, the servants come back to him and said, the Son of Man went forth to sow seed. Well, the Son of Man don't sow wicked seed. The Son of Man sows good seed. But when the servants come back, they said, sir, master, didn't you sow good seed? He said, yes. And then he said, but we found tares among the wheat. So all of a sudden, in the congregation of God, we're finding two different crowds. Said, how are we getting these two different crowds? And God don't say, I did it. I threw a little wheat, I threw a little tares. He never takes credit for that crowd being among his people. He said, the enemy had done this. God never took credit for the righteous dwelling among the righteous or the sinners among the right. He never took credit for that. He said, an enemy did this. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something else. He knew something about this seed sowing. And you might not agree with me, but that time's over. Seed's done been sowed. Amen. Brother Ben Maxey gets very definitive in Spoken Word's original seed and tells us three end time sowers, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and Elijah. He said, Noel Roberts sowed Pentecostal seed. Billy Graham sowed denominational seed. And say what you want, the harvest of them two seeds is in full flourishing. Amen. But he said, Elijah sowed the word. And I tell you, Elijah's crop is here today as well. The message that Elijah brought is producing a crop. Amen. And I tell you, it's a broad crop. I'll go further. It's a word crop. They say, if you give me anything, give me the word. I don't care. I'm going to say it. I don't care about entertainment. Give me the word. I don't care about social clubs. Give me the word. That's why you're here. You're here for one thing and one thing only. You're not even here to see each other. You're here for the word. So he says, these servants come to him, and you know their thoughts is like us bunch of preachers. We're gonna separate. We're gonna do this. No. He said, no wisdom in that. And listen to what he says. You leave them alone. But Lord, if you let us preachers are good. We can go and pluck this out, pluck that out. He said, listen, let them grow together. Because he knew that. Master knew that if you go to trying to tear up the wheat or the weeds, you're going to get the wheat with it. And you're going to do greater damage. So let them grow, listen, together until the time of the harvest. Now, Brother Bam will place that at the end of the ages. This parable is being told 2,000 years ago. Brother Bam said it has an end time application, which he's telling you, and you know this already, that seed sowing in the church, Gentile church, started right there in Ephesus. And it growed and growed and growed until it became massive, until it became a whole church system. Mystery Babylon. I wish my Pentecostal brothers that I was with this past weekend could see that, could only understand that, that every one of these organizations today are daughters to that system. That's what Brother Bam said. She's a mother of harlots. Even the Pope, that maybe not this one, but the one before him, even when he came into office, he said something that was astounding, because they always called the denomination of the Protestants sister churches. But when this Pope come in, he actually said this statement, we no longer call you our sisters, you are now our daughters. I said, dear God, brother, I tell you, the Pope is a Pope, and he'll be the incarnate devil, but probably don't even know he's going to be that. But he's going to be that. They don't even realize why they say, you're our daughters. They may not even fully understand that. But we understand it's Bible prophecy that's got to be fulfilled. But sitting right here this morning, I'm telling you, it's a group of people. I don't care how big it is. I'm telling you, there's a group here that is not a part of that mother system. We stand there like the word while it was young, 12 years old, stand in that temple, stand in the doctor, the teacher in the temple, and stood there and told his own mother, I must be about my father's business. In other words, Joseph ain't my daddy. I'm about my father. That's why I'm down in the temple preaching the word, because I'm about my father's business. And I tell you this morning, this little bride crop is not about no mother's business. We're about our father's business. And our father's business is the word of God. I believe you believe that. Amen? Amen. Brother Bam says, the will of my Father that I declare and am determined to do. This third pool, to open the word, I must be reverent and I must be faithful to it. Brother Branham, brother, was faithful to the word of God. Amen. I'm just telling somebody last night, I'm 55, Brother Bam left the seat at 56. And look what God accomplished through his life. Today, we're still under the effects of the message that he brought 60 years ago. Amen. I told my wife coming down the road, how much longer can this thing go? But I'll tell you one thing, God is sovereign and he is in full control. Amen. Listen to what he says to them. Let them grow together until the time of the harvest. You know, the time of the harvest is going to not only be a reaping time, but it's going to begin with a separating time. He said, I will save the reapers. He's going to send some angels, Brother Bam said. You can go get it. See the discrepancy, 1965. And he'll tell you, notice angels, plural, not one, two. Multiple. Now you can take Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, that crowd. That's fine. Go deal with them. But I'm not dealing with them angels. I'm dealing with these two. I'm dealing with the angel above him and the angel below him. Amen. A heavenly angel and an earthly angel. Right? But this crowd's got to do what they do. And this is what he said. I will say the reapers, notice what he says, gather ye together first the tares. Brother Branham explains that verse, identifies it as something that's taking place in time, that That's what he calls it. I always put my books, WCCO, World Council of Churches, WCOC, World Council of Churches. Brother Bam identified that right there, World Council of Churches. I read just a moment ago in the Patmos vision, he said, they already got a building up here. You'll have to belong to that one of these days or they'll shut these. Brother Bam said, we ought to make every minute count because one day they'll shut this down. We won't be able to do this. Amen. That's what the prophet said. He said, now watch that little group then. She'll show her colors. Right? Then, can I just read that to you a second? Amen. Wait, Brother Bam said it because what he said fit just with what I'm preaching this morning. After he made that statement, listen to what he says here. He said they'll show their colors. He said, and be sure that we know, not a guesswork, but thus saith the Lord, where you're standing. Amen. He said, at that time, he said, I'll just read it to you. They'll come and unionize amongst the churches, and they'll unite together, form a head of confederation churches, which you already have a great big UN building where every denomination is in it. And you'll either have to belong to some those denominations or be ousted. Right. And that's the time where we will have to show our colors and be sure that we know, not a guesswork, but be sure we know, but know thus saith the Lord, where you're standing. That little church has always been the minority, that little group, little thread, like a red string that winds through the Bible. But it's the church always, and we want to remember it. That time's coming. I think it's much nearer than what we realize. Well, what did he do? He said, bind the tares together, bind them in bundles to burn them. Wasn't burn immediately, bind them in bundles for the burning. But then there was another gathering. I beseech you therefore, brother, by the coming Lord, and by our gathering together unto him. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. But then said, a message goes forth first to gather the living bride. Now you're talking about a whole different group over here. They're being gathered, and we're being gathered. They're being gathered ultimately, they don't know it, by false prophets, and we're being gathered by true prophet. Amen. Y'all with me? Amen. Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Gather the wheat into my barn. What he's telling you, that's the hour of the harvest is also the hour of the rapture. But the people will have to be gathered to the word. But what is it? There has to come a time of separation, which we must realize it has to take place. Yes, it hurts, but it has to take place. A time where God will separate who is his from those who are not his. So let's understand, it never was God's desire to have the wicked among the righteous. It was never God's desire for tares to be among wheat. He himself claimed an enemy did this. But that enemy did not ultimately stop God's program. No more than the permissive will in the Garden of Eden introduced by a sexual act stopped the spoken word from bringing his children back to him. But that is the perfect way to be born again. But he understood something the servants didn't, and that was, leave it alone. I got some people chosen that's going to separate this crowd, and they will do their job. But if you do it, you'll destroy the tares with the wheat. I hadn't ordained you to do it. I got some angels that will take care of that. Amen. So God knows how to separate. Yeah. Now listen to me. Listen to me closely. Just because God separates you from men or men from you doesn't mean that you've received separation from God. Amen. Because the Bible said, who, tell me someone, tell me anybody that shall separate us from the love of God. Amen. Well, you know, I want him to wrap his arms around me. And I want, and he does sometimes, and I know we need that sometimes. I'm not saying that at all. But I want you to understand God's love for the elected. God's love for the elected. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God's love corrects us because he wants to make sure that we're with this the way we need to be. And he's got a way of doing it. Sometimes Brother Bam said they don't even understand God's love. They think God's love is a parental love where, you know, you rock the baby. He said, but God's love, sometimes like Job, he puts strength in us. He puts us through things where everything you feel completely rejected. You have to look up at that time and say, God, you're sovereign. You're in control. I know your love for me don't fluctuate. And whatever you choose to put me through, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to accept whatever you permit to happen. You have to say that this morning. You have to examine your heart. And you could say, oh my, everything's messed up. Or you got to examine your heart and say, no, there's a faith down in me that trusts what God's doing. I can't help it. There's something down when I examine my heart. There's a faith down in it that says God is in control. Every man and woman has to come to that. And your faith better not be in the arm of the flesh. It better not be in people. We'll get to something. Yes, God calls us. He separates us. Then there are those that God don't separate, but they separate themselves. That's Bible. These be they who separate themselves, being sensual, having not the Spirit. And there's people that separate. That we've seen that all down through the age. My God, I've seen that so much. If I had the people that passed through here, this church wouldn't even, there's no way. I wouldn't take chairs. I'd be putting more in. That's just a fact. But there's only so many that's going to stay with that word for whatever reason. Now I want to go further, because now turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to the book of Psalms for a second. And I want to bring this to something here before we go this morning. Listen to me. Psalms chapter 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Fear and trembling. That's reverence for God and His Word. Do you realize when you walk in this church, let me tell you something. I'm astounded sometimes from Wednesday to Sunday. The atmosphere on Sunday that changes so much on Wednesday. I'm going to tell you why. When you walk through them doors, I hope you people understand, you're not here to worship Luke Gibson. I know you know that. But why would you walk through them doors and not worship the one whose house this is? What did he do to you? What has the Lord done that you say, well, I have problems. No. I'm not. You can have problems with everybody, but don't have no problem with God. When you walk, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. What did the song leader do to you? He's done nothing but stand here, sing songs of Zion. Examine your heart. If you're talking about my Lord and you're talking about the blood, oh, I'm going to worship you, Lord. I'm going to thank you for the blood. That's one thing I can rally with you around is we're talking about Christ. He ain't done nothing but good to us. I said he ain't done nothing but good to us. He called us by his grace. He gave us faith in our heart. He justified us as though we never said. Don't tell me you ain't got to. Every day, every hour, every time we come together, you got a reason to worship him. Amen. Verse 12. You ready for this? Say it with me. Kiss. I know another guy kissed him. But it ain't the same kiss you better be putting on him. I know another guy walked up to him right at the hour of the great showdown, and he kissed him. And the prophet said he kissed the door to heaven and went to hell. Why are you kissing him today? You got to check your motive. You got to examine your heart now. If I'm going to put a kiss on him, I want it to be a kiss of love and affection to tell him how good he's been to me and how great he's been. Not a kiss, oh, I love you, but the whole time, that's where you're going to get back. God won't have a doubt again, but when you examine yourself, and he said, you know, not discern the Lord's body, you can be kissing the Son and crucifying his children. When you've done the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Amen. Come on now, talk to me. That's why he tells you, so I'm taking this communion, but I got on against so-and-so. He said, you hadn't discerned the Lord's body because you didn't realize that ain't talking about the body 2,000 years ago. That's talking about his people. You can't sit in the house of God, kiss up to the Son and treat his children wrong. You can't kiss up to the Son and be talking about his kids and gossiping all through the church. Talk to me now, church. It's a wrong kind of a kiss. It's hypocrisy. I'm not talking about nobody here. I'm just preaching. Don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God gets angry. Brother Benham said he does. And he won't. He said, somewhere you'll pay a price for the attitude you come to church in. God will make you pay. Said even your families will pay a price for it. Well, I don't believe that. Well, and I tell you what, you tell them parents of them 42 kids. You tell them what they taught their kids and the attitudes they produced on them kids if their families didn't pay a price. Go back, get the message, respects, and tell me the prophet of God, you won't walk out of that sermon with a fear of God in your heart and respect, not just for people you agree with, anybody that God puts his hand on, you respect what God does. Even if gifts operate and you disagree with it, don't you talk against that gift. That's God put that there. We wonder why God don't move. Listen, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled, but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. In other words, do homage to the Son. Bow to the Son. Submit to the Son. You know why? This is what people, I'll be more definitive. Submit to his word. Humble yourselves. Amen? Now listen, you say, well, you know, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Put your trust in him. And what they don't realize is that somewhere everybody's got to show their colors. Submit to him. Humble to him. Bow to him. Put your trust in him. This is very serious. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. Everybody say, praise the Lord. God knows every one of us. He certainly knows us better than we know ourselves. Amen? Submit to his word. We have this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Since God knows them that are his, he knows also how to separate those that's not his. Now listen to me. What I'm preaching this morning, I'm not talking about what's going on in this church. I'm just telling you the word. So don't think I'm picking on anybody. I'm just telling you the word for a minute. John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. Not only does he say, know my sheep, he said, I'm also known of mine. You know what that means? God has a responsibility to not only get you, but to reveal to you who he is. Amen. John 10:17 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And Brother Ben says, the word. Amen. Just like last week I read, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, delivered them to chains of darkness reserved to judgment. But at the same time, he spared not the old world, but he saved Noah. Then turned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow, making an example of those that should have to live ungodly. The whole homosexual community ought to be able to read what God thinks about them. Is that right? Turned that whole two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, turned them to ashes over them sins. And then this Brother Bam said, if God don't send judgment on America, he have to raise up Sodom and Gomorrah, apologize to him. But while God was doing that, the Bible said he delivered just Lot. Right? So at the hour of judgment, God knew he had some in there that still belonged. You can, depending on what type you want to take, if you take Abraham and Lot and you put them together, then you can only make Abraham foolish, wise virgin, and Lot foolish. But if you separate them and leave them in their own type, you can make Abraham bride and you can also make Lot bride. And I can prove it to you in the message. All you got to do is go get the, will the church go through the tribulation period? And Brother Bam, in that message, will make Lot elect and make him bride and say God has to call out the bride before judgment strikes the church. Go get it. But if you ever put the two types together, then you have to make one and one the other. And he'll make Billy Graham going down there to Sodom, but he called out Lot. He makes Lot foolish virgin. Abraham never was in Sodom. He's the elect. See? You can make, how many believe Noah's bride? He is bride, but don't put him with Enoch in a type. Because you put him with Enoch, you got to make Enoch bride and a lot of type of the church that goes over in the tribulation period. But if you leave Enoch by himself, he's bride and Lot's bride. That's why I say you got to stay with the types the prophet put there or you'll mess the whole picture up. What is it? Let me say this quickly. God knows them that are his and he knows how to sort it all out. Now, some of y'all may not like what I'm about to say, but I want you to understand something. And I want to make it very clear. This is the only approach I know to take. Now, I'll speak of what happens here. There's people that came to me and said, I feel led of God to leave. Now, I think it's a shame people's held offices in this church and leave here and never tell the pastor and never have enough respect after a man for 28 years preaching to him to tell him they're leaving the church. I think it's a crying shame. It shows there's no Christian principles. I don't care how much you disagree. But here's my point. Just because someone leaves here don't mean they left Christ. I want you to understand that. Because there's sometimes maybe a ministry can only bring you so far. And I'll accept that. But I won't accept that when you go somewhere and then you want to murder the group you came from. You take that same murderous, rotten spirit elsewhere where you go. That's why I said anybody walks through the door coming from another church, I'll be honest with you, I'm going to be playing with you just a minute. I don't care to get another church member. I'd rather go out here in the streets and find somebody that knows nothing about Christ and find someone that I can introduce to the God. We'd be get better off dealing with a sinner than you will with these religious people. I've wondered if the crowns, if the stars in our crowns were souls, how many of y'all would have crowns on your head or crowns in your head but no stars in them? When's the last time you told someone about Christ? You witnessed about Christ, won somebody to Christ. Now, you're affecting people whether you know it or not, for good or bad. But I'm just simply saying, we owe it. It's the same way someone brought it to us, we owe it to take it to others. And I'm more determined in my heart to do that than ever. Ever. Every opportunity, Lord, you give me, send someone my way that I can tell them about Christ. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not interested in getting them to a church. And I'm going to be bill plain. I'm not interested in introducing them to a man unless that man's Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. God knows how to sort it all out. And he will. He'll sort every bit of it out. He's going to put every seed and plant it where he knows it'll bloom and blossom. If it's his. If it's not, he'll pluck it out of his kingdom. He'll even take us and prune us down so that we can produce more. He works both ways. You said it don't happen. John said it did. John the Baptist said every tree that don't bring forth fruit, he'll hew you down and cast you into fire. And then Jesus told he'll sometimes prune it down so it can produce more fruit. How many knows he'll do our lives that way? Sure he will. Matthew 7, possibly the Lord had Psalms 1 in mind when he makes this statement. Sure they knew the Old Testament. Paul knew it. Bible lesson yesterday, Brother Bram said he was a scholar at the Old Testament. And Jesus stood there to that crowd and said, enter the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many shall go thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. It's interesting that Brother Bam said, notice the word straight there is S-T-R-A-I-T, and straight is a waterway. Do you know that? Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Brother Bam said, that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Few there be that find it. Praise God. Aren't you glad God let you find it? Because that water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is your, you cross that little river over on the other side into the promised land, which is the Holy Ghost. But you're going to have to come the waterway. How many? Many go the broad way. Few go the straight way, the narrow way. Then he says, in that day, many shall come. Say, Lord, they call him Lord, Lord. Then Brother Bam, I heard him yesterday say, but no man can truly call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Said, the Holy Ghost has to reveal him to you. Not just saying words. We just said it a minute ago, Brother Bill. He said, Brother Bam's a sealed book. He said, that's why they scream and holler. That name, they don't get nothing. Because they're screaming the name Jesus because they're exalting the name above his word. But he said he exalts his word above his name. So while they're screaming the name, they're denying the word. That's why they're not getting nowhere. Amen. Y'all with me? So we have to examine ourselves. Just give me a minute. We have to look inward. I want to make this very clear before I go. You're here today to look at your own life. Amen. Every time you walk through the doors and we create an atmosphere, by Brother Nick is singing or Brother Jeremiah, whoever, you're helping that song leader. He's a leader. He's a worship leader. He's leading you in worship. Brother Bam, what purpose? Create an atmosphere. So that when the minister walks out, he can walk to an audience already under the anointing. And then Brother Bam said, we're bound to hear from heaven. Then the word goes out, and that's examination time. Test myself. Look at my heart. Don't look at the outside world. Where do I stand with Christ? Brother, this hour is so sincere, so late. It's a razor's blade edge between truth and error that you should constantly be searching our life. Where do I stand? Where am I at, Lord? What's the condition of my heart? If there be some evil way in me, reveal it to me. Shine the light. Sometimes it seems like it's a little, you know, like on your phone. And then sometimes it seems like God turns a big old, what do you call them, big old spotlights. And sometimes it seems that way. God, do both. But whatever he's got to do, Lord, shine it on me. If there's something in me that's not right, shine on me, Lord. Expose me, Lord. Let me look at your word. And then give me a heart. That'll say, God, whatever it takes, change me to match your word. This is examination time. But I've called it one place, inventory time. You take inventory of your life. Like they have inventory in the stores, but Ben said. He didn't call it, I think he called it a Cascade or something like that. One of these, like we call it a Walmart. They take inventory to see what's lacking, what needs to be put on the shelf. And, you know, old stuff they get rid of and new stuff they put there. And I've learned they take the old stuff and put it out in the front, take the new stuff, put it in the back. That way you grab the old stuff first. And if you're smart, you reach past the old stuff and get the new stuff. Amen. And what I'm coming to tonight in Ephesians 4, there's an old stuff and there's new stuff. And when you examine, you got to get rid of the old stuff. And you got to put on the new stuff. And the old stuff is the old man and his ways. And the new man is the one that's been created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, our lives need to reflect him. And if there be things in us, we sit in churches, and I see it set in churches, and they have attitudes and they have rotten spirit. You think, what? I mean, what are we doing? What is going on? Why is it so separated and divided and these things? And I appreciate what Brother Nicky said a minute ago, and I do believe that. You know, there's a word that I come to, and I'm going to close on this. There's a word I come to in my studies this week, and it's the word trans. Anybody know what that word means, trans? I'm not talking about homosexuals. I'm not talking about people transitioning. They take a lot of good, solid words, but even have Bible background, and they pervert them. Like the word gay. Now we got trans, and you say, oh, they're a trans. What do you mean they're trans? But I like the word trans because it simply means to cross over, go beyond on the other side. The prefix of some of our most powerful words, one of them has to do with Christianity. It's so powerful that when God describes a man that's frugal in his mind, darkened in his understanding, alienated from the life of God, ignorant, hard-hearted, callous, he changes you and transforms you into righteousness and holiness. And I got to get to this because this is where I was coming to ultimately. Decisions is not evidence. Transformation is evidence. Amen. But Billy Graham gets a bunch of them come up make a decision. And he said he walk out the same person. Decision is not evidence. Transformation is evidence. Transformation is an evidence that a life, that your life has come in contact with someone that's greater than you. Amen. Right? It means to cross over. Transatlantic means to cross over, across, through, beyond. When combined with formation, it literally means, it signifies a complete change across from one state to another. Let me put it this way, from a sinner to a saint. From ungodly to righteous. You know what happens? God did not only transform you, but he transfers. Takes your sin on Christ at Calvary and transfers his righteousness over onto you. On the mountain, there come a great transfiguration. There's all kind of beautiful words like that. But here's what it comes to. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Here it comes again. Oh, it's going to tie in Ephesians 4 tonight. Old things are passed away. And behold, how many things? All things become new. This happens to every man or woman that's ever came into Christ. No man or woman has ever came into Christ but what they're changed. If they're not changed, they didn't go far enough. And this is the great deception
that sitting around the church today, and you pick on the denomination. We do. We're guilty of it. We pick on the Baptists. We pick on the Lutherans. We bust the Catholics. We condemn the Pentecostals. But you won't sit around on your own message where people say, I believe God sent a prophet, and you think that's a ticket to the rapture. Oh, I believe the message. That ain't no different than Baptist teaching. For you to say, I believe and I got it. No, you don't. That Brother Bam said, you believe, that's good. But God has to confirm your belief by giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can say, let me tell you who believed William Branham's a prophet more than anybody else. Let me tell you who it is. The devil. You know who was calling Jesus, thou son of God? Have you come to torment for our time? Devils. You know who was calling him a devil? Religious people. But all them devils believe in one God and they fear and tremble, but they ain't saved. Am I right? You're not got a ticket to heaven because you say William Branham's a prophet, or I believe everything on the table. The people say that, I know they don't. They won't live what they say they believe. So, Brother Branham, I believe every word you said. Go get the token message, 1963, right there in Jephthah. Brother Branham, I believe every word you said. He said, that's good. That's just being able to read. Now obey what I said. Apply the token. Get the Holy Ghost down in that soul. Sell yourself out. And I'm going to tell you something. One of the greatest evidence, not just by receiving the word, but having the love of God shed in there by the Holy Ghost. Perfect love. Amen. Cast out fear. And I tell you what else it does. It'll make you love your brother, and not only love your brother. I preached it here just a few weeks ago. To be a real adopted son and daughter of God is not to love those that love you. It's to love those that don't love you. To love your enemies. Believe that? Amen. So, I believe. Well, one man came to me not long ago, Brother Ben said, a precious friend, an old preacher friend, back when I was a Baptist in the Baptist church. How many believe Brother Ben was saved in the Baptist church? Amen. Started somewhere, didn't he? I sent a quote to, it might have been my wife and preacher yesterday. I said, do you believe this? I sent it to him. 1954, Brother Ben said, a woman is not even to handle the word, said she's not to preach, and said she's not even to speak in tongues in the church or nothing. And he said, I have to say that because that's what the Bible says. So I sent it to the brother. I said, you believe that? He said, well, yeah, I believe it. I said, so you don't believe she should speak in tongues in the church either? But Brother Bam said, I got direct quotes. Brother Bam said, she's not even permitted to speak in tongues in the church. I said, you believe that? Well, yeah, I believe that. I said, you do? I said, then do you believe this one? So I sent him one in 1960. Brother Ben said, Brother Ben, can a woman speak in tongues? Well, yeah, she can speak in tongues, prophesy, and do all these things in the church, but she just can't preach. I said, do you believe that one? I said, which one do you believe? I said, brother, the truth is what I did that for, to show you that even our prophet had to progress in his understanding. Amen. You sit around and act like you've got a perfect prop. You don't have a perfect man nowhere outside of Jesus Christ. And some people don't like me to preach that, but it's just a fact. Come back to the scriptures. Come. This message was to call us back to the word. Amen. Only one man ever lived that was perfect, never made a mistake, never had to grow in knowledge as far as being wrong and then being made right, and that was Jesus Christ. Amen. Brother Bam said, oh, Brother Bam, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto righteousness. Brother Bam said, I said, that's right, doctor. That's right. So what more could Abraham do but believe? Brother Bam said, no more. That's all he could do. And that's all you and I can do is believe. But I'm going to tell you something. If we truly believe, like Abraham, then God gave the seal of circumcision as a confirmation of his faith being reconciled. So Brother Bam says, I said, has he ever sealed you, doctor, with the Holy Spirit? See? If you say you got faith and he's never given you the Holy Ghost yet, he's never recognized your faith. After Abraham believed God, God gave him a seal of circumcision as a sign that he reconciled him and recognized his faith. Amen. Now, people have to be honest. That's why you got to examine yourself. You got it? Or you don't have it? It's not time to play with it. It's time to be honest. I got it or I don't got it. You say, but I believe the message. Yes. But do you have the confirmation that God's accepted that faith by giving you the Holy Ghost? If you say, I got faith, and he's never given you the Holy Ghost, he's never recognized it yet. There's still something hanging on. But I said, there's still something hanging on. But when God gives you the Holy Ghost, he seals you until the day of your redemption. Praise the Lord.
Did Brother Branham take you back to the walk of Abraham, some types of the New Testament church? Abraham believed God, he was justified. That's Genesis 15. Genesis 17, Abraham walked before God and was perfect. That's sanctification. Then God gave him the seal of circumcision, which is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then God changed him back to a young man and Sarah back to a young woman. Is that right? I'm going to show you tonight that, brother, where this gospel has to start, and I'm closing, for you to examine yourself, you have to look at your heart. For a moment, while the musicians are coming, don't look at your skirt. For a moment, don't look at your haircut. For a moment, look at your heart. Bow your heads if you would. What am I? I'm talking to me now. What am I in my heart? What are you in your heart? We have to examine ourselves. What am I in my heart? Can I honestly say before God, my heart is pure before him. My conscience is clean. No man can condemn my conscience. Everything's under the blood. I have no animosity. I have no anger. I have no anything against anybody. Lord, if you could cleanse me for the man I was, how in the world could I stand in your presence and point my finger at anybody else? God be merciful to us. Brother Bram said it. He said, Brother Luke, you want gifts? Oh, yes. I would love to see them manifested. I would love that. No problem at all. But I hold to this thing because I would rather see this right here in this church. I'd rather lay all the gifts aside for a moment and see perfect love. Because Brother Bam said, without perfect love, we wouldn't enter over there. And he also said, give me a church with perfect love. In 3 minutes' time, there won't be a feeble person among us. The most powerful force on the earth. And he gave us examples of what it did to the bull, what it did to the bees. What would it do to each other this morning if that great love of God shed by the Holy Ghost down in our hearts? Look at your own heart this morning, just for a second. Look inward. Examine yourself. Know yourself. Prove yourself. Test it for a minute. When things come up, how do I respond? Someone does me wrong, what do I do? Someone treats me a certain way, how do I respond? I hear somebody say something bad about me, what do I do? Search our own hearts. Father, this morning as we bring this to a close, dear God, I've did that for several weeks now. Have to look into my own heart, examine my own life to make sure that nothing is between me and the Savior. As your brother Nick said a few moments ago, the basis of fellowship. Lord, I've witnessed that. That solely, completely upon the blood of Jesus Christ. A man will confess his sins. You said you're faithful and just to forgive us of all of it. Lord, what you want this morning is not for us to rend our heart, our garments, but it's for us to rend our hearts. It's not for us to make an outward show. Our Lord dealt with those type there when he was here in Matthew 7 and Sermon on the Mount. He dealt with that crowd. What you want is men and women who serve you from their hearts. And that's what I'm speaking of this morning, Lord, is for each one of us to examine our own hearts. Look at our own lives. Oh, God, I know nothing better than to stand in your presence, have the word before me, and say, Lord, make me like this right here. If that's your desire this morning, would you just lift your hand right where you are? Say, Lord, that is my desire. I just want my heart pure before you. Father, have your way in every life, every hand this place, Lord. Let's lift it up. Your prophet said there's something down in the man's heart that's pushing his. Lord, there's something pushing our defying gravity and pushing our hands up toward you. Say, yes, Lord. That's what I want. I just want my heart to be where it should be. And then I know from there, if my heart's pure, everything else will proceed from there, Lord. Let's begin there, Father. Have your way in every life, every heart this morning, oh God, as we examine ourselves in your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Church says, amen. Let's sing together if we could.
Search me.
Stand with me if you would.
Oh God, and know my heart today.
Oh, how many believes he does?
Try me.
Oh.
Yes, Lord.
Know my heart. My thoughts.
Wicked
way.
Let us walk pure and sober before you, O God. Send the fires of the Holy Spirit among us, O God.
Cleanse me.
Yes, Lord.
From
every sin.
Sin and set me.
Oh, one more time now.
Free.
Every heart. Just solemn now, saying, "Search me, O God."
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Guide me.
In my head, it's called Close to Thee. Put that up there, key of F, same key. Let's sing this before we go. Thou my everlasting portion, more than friend, oh. Life to me, all along my pilgrim journey, Savior, let me walk with Thee. Sing it right to Him. Stay close to Thee. Close to Thee, close to Thee, close to Thee, all along my pilgrim journey. For ease or worldly pleasure, not for fame, my prayer shall be. Gladly will I toil and suffer. Close to Thee, close to Thee. with thee. Lead me through the veil of sorrows. Bear me o'er life's fitful sea. Then the gates of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Once more, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Close to thee, close to thee. Then the gates of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. That right there should be the desire of every heart here. Lord, whatever it takes, let me examine my own heart. Let me see in your word, the reflection of your word. Let me see my failures. Let me see all my wrongdoings. Let me see where I've did people wrong, Lord, because I want to make it right. Put that verse back up there. The third one. Lead me through the veil of shadows. Bear me o'er life. Sometimes it feels that way, don't it? Then the gates of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee, close to thee, close to thee. Brother Charlie, would you come and dismiss the people? Close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. God bless you.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the fellowship here today and the message that we've received. And I pray that you'll be with us. Bring us back tonight, and Lord, let us live what he preached today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Fill my way every day.